You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Laura Satsui. Avenel State Prison isn't the only local correctional facility grappling with COVID-19. Back with us to talk more about outbreaks in prisons and jails and to explain Governor Gavin Newsom's recent shift in focus to the San Joaquin Valley is FM89 health reporter Carrie Klein with our weekly COVID update. Thanks for being here, Carrie.
Hi, thanks, Laura.
So what's happened in the last week when it comes to COVID-19?
Well, a lot has happened, unfortunately, and not much of it is good. That's kind of the theme that we're going with now week by week here. So we're now up to 50,000 cases in the 7 counties in our coverage area. That's close to 2%. We're creeping up on that 2% mark. And around 70 people have died just in the last week. That's our biggest weekly tally yet, unfortunately. And so we're getting some very focused attention from the state, as you alluded to in the intro here. And that's saying something, since California as a state has hit some records for case counts and for deaths recently as well. And so according to Governor Newsom's order earlier in the week, 8 counties in the San Joaquin Valley are set to receive $52 million to bolster testing, contact tracing, and quarantine efforts. And the governor is also sending 3 unified support teams, what some people are calling strike teams, and those will be working alongside public health and emergency officials to help wherever they're needed, like strategizing what's needed on the ground, how to increase capacity at hospitals, things like that. And as of earlier this week, county health officials did not have a lot of details about what the work with those teams would look like, but that will emerge over the coming weeks, I'm sure. Also in big news this week, there was a study of farm workers that was released this week from the California Institute for Rural Studies, and it shows that COVID-19 is 3 times more prevalent among agricultural workers than among non-ag workers. The study also surveyed around 900 farm workers and found that many of them are not receiving the face masks as promised. Many of them continue to work in large cohorts that aren't being socially distanced. And there are a lot of other very unfortunate factors that continue to exacerbate the inequities between farm worker populations, which are primarily Latino, and the other demographic groups in different industry sectors here in this area.
Wow. And I understand you have some notable highlights from a few counties in our area. Tell us about those.
Right. So to just go through a couple counties here. So in Fresno, we've seen a continued rise in COVID-19 cases in the Fresno County Jail. I'll go into more detail about that later in this interview. In Tulare County, on Wednesday, the American Civil Liberties Union just sued the county jail there, alleging that the sheriff's office has not done enough to prevent COVID-19 transmission there and has even gone so far as to deny masks to inmates and not systematically test inmates for the disease, despite a request from a county judge to do so. Again, that's what's alleged in this lawsuit. But so far in the Tulare County Jail, the case count is 22 inmates and 5 employees so far that have tested positive. So that story is still developing as that lawsuit progresses. In Kern County, there are a lot of new things that have been approved by the Board of Supervisors, including millions of dollars to bring in 80 new ICU nurses that'll help out with a lot of hospitals in the county. They're also bringing in tons of personal protective equipment, this PPE for small businesses, things like hand sanitizer, masks. They've also opened up a new high capacity testing site, aiming to test 5,000 people a day for the next 2 weeks. So that'll be huge. In Mariposa County, that's usually where the best news is in our area. They do still have the lowest case rate in our coverage area. However, they did report a second death this week of COVID-19, but still only 2 deaths since March. So that's still pretty good.
And so let's turn back to the Fresno County Jail. We first reported cases there a few weeks ago. Can you give an update on what the outbreak there looks like now?
Right. Well, unfortunately, that case count just keeps rising as more people get tested. So as of earlier this week, Sheriff Margaret Mims confirmed for me that there have been 910 inmates who have tested positive and around 60 employees. Still 400 are awaiting test results, and also around 400 are still under quarantine. The rest of them have recovered or have been released.
Wow, that sounds huge. I mean, give us some context. Is that a lot of people relatively?
Yes, that is a lot of people. It's more than 40% of all the inmates housed there. So that's almost half. So, you know, that's pretty tremendous. And New York Times data, the New York Times has been tabulating data in what they call clusters in facilities like prisons, jails, nursing homes, army bases, businesses. And according to New York Times data of this from around the country, this number would actually put the Fresno County jail outbreak among the top 20 clusters in the country. And the ACLU has sued county jails with far fewer cases, with less than 100 cases. It is tough to know, however, if there are other county jails with outbreaks this big around California, and that's because there has not been a lot of data, and that's because the state does not centralize the data the way that they do for state prisons or skilled nursing facilities. Mm-hmm. However, today is the first day that the state is actually launching a new data dashboard for county jails, and so that will reveal a lot more information there.
Okay. And what is the Fresno County Sheriff's Office doing to contain the outbreak at the jail?
Well, so they've told me that they've, you know, one thing they've done is set up a tiered quarantine system, kind of, you know, they call them red, orange, yellow, and green. Green is if you've tested negative, you're clear. Red is if you've tested positive, and there are various stages in between for if you have symptoms or not. They also have a goal to test everyone weekly, particularly those who've tested negative, to keep making sure that they haven't been exposed to the disease. They've also dropped the prison or the jail population by 900 people. That's a little more than a third since March. And that's partly because of a $0 bail policy enacted at the state level earlier in the year. As a side note, though, MIMS does say that that's caused other problems. So that there have been actually a lot of repeat offenders because they've been sent home instead of being put in jail initially.
Wow. And just before this interview, we heard you speaking with a man who is currently incarcerated at Avenal State Prison. There have been a lot of fluctuations in cases there over the last few months. Can you give us an update on what's been happening there in Avenal?
Yeah, so right now the cumulative total is about just over 1,200 cases among inmates and 93 among staff. For a while, there were very few new cases at Avenal. It looked like the outbreak had been contained, but in the last week, there have been more than 200 new cases again. So that cumulative total is ticking back up again. There have also been 5 deaths, unfortunately, in total, and it is still the state prison in California with the second highest cumulative total behind San Quentin.
And the agency in charge of state prisons, we know is the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. So what is the CDCR doing about the outbreak at Avenal?
Well, so they turned down an interview request from me, but they did answer some questions by email. They have tested almost all the inmates at the prison. They're testing employees every 14 days and then doing, you know, symptom screening at the door. And they're using a lot of different places on campus, at the site of the prison to quarantine inmates depending on their testing status. And so this is the way that, and they've also ended visitations. And so these are some of the ways that they're really trying to contain this outbreak, and we'll see really in the long term if it's working.
Yeah, I guess even with all of those mitigation tactics, I mean, why are correctional facilities such a hotbed for this disease?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. And they really are. I mean, most of the biggest outbreaks in the country with hundreds and hundreds of cases are in correctional facilities. So, to answer this question, to learn a little bit more about why, I spoke with Don Spector. He's an attorney and executive director of the Prison Law Office in San Quentin.
They're congregate living environments where people are housed very close together without any space. And in addition, in California, prisons especially, you have lots of older people and people with various illnesses or conditions which make them more vulnerable to COVID than normal, so because of their age as well. And so the combination of those two factors suggested that it was a disaster waiting to happen, and that eventually came true, unfortunately and tragically.
And so his organization is involved in litigation against the state government due to overcrowding in prisons and failure to provide mental health care and disability accommodations throughout the pandemic.
Wow. And we should know, I mean, it's not just the incarcerated population or the employees at prisons who are at risk for the disease, right?
That's right. It's also the community around them. I mean, employees bring the disease out with them, and so do people when they're released. And I talked about this specifically with Lucia Tian. She's a chief analytics officer with the American Civil Liberties Union based in New York, and she focuses specifically on county jails. She echoed a lot of what Dawn Spector said, but there are some differences that really concern her.
Jails are particularly bad because they are sort of the revolving doors of incarceration. So we face 10.7 million admissions a year. That is huge. That's an admission every 3 seconds in America. And the average stay is just 25 days. And so that means that jails are places where people are really crowded, and they don't have these sort of protections of social distancing and sort of other health measures. And then people cycle in and out.
And so what can be done to protect these populations and the communities, you know, people who live around them?
Well, Tian and Spector both talked about overcrowding. I mean, that one of the biggest priorities should be to reduce prison populations, and that could include, you know, letting go of people who are within a few months of the ends of their sentences, or it could involve like pushing up probation hearings that were set to happen later this year. Or in county jails, for instance, you know, the state did set a $0 bond earlier this year that would keep people out of jail if they're just currently waiting to pay their bail. You know, and these lawyers also advocate for some different practices of, you know, arresting and policing to keep people out of jails and prisons in the first place if they're not, you know, really violent offenders. And then, of course, they also advocate for a lot of the same public health measures that we're seeing outside of prison walls, you know, regular testing, perhaps surveillance testing, you know, doing that now rather than waiting for an outbreak, plus really effectively social distancing and allowing for personal protective equipment within prison walls. You know, they think just doing all of these things better would really help to contain the outbreaks and prevent them.
Okay, thank you so much for this update, Carrie.
Okay, thank you.